your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Grass make dab in the middle. We are grass make dab in the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The Secret Truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got some really good information this week coming out of the valley, the Rio Grande Valley, which is the furthest place south in Texas. And there you've got the Rio Grande that's streaming, or actually running from the west to the east, and it finally ends up in the Gulf of Mexico. But and along that river, you have a long border with Texas, New Mexico, and so along that border, you have a lot of smuggling going on. You have a lot of different problems along the border. You've got these Mexican cities that are under the control of the cartels, and it's really like a Wild West show down there, and thousands of Mexicans have lost their lives due to the problems with the cartels and drug smuggling and so forth. But anyway, what's coming up here first is Greg Reese describing that not only Project Veritas stumbled on to this illegal smuggling operation, but Alex followed it up also. So here we go with Greg Reese describing it basically, and then we're going to play an interview that Alex had with James O'Keefe, that's head of Project Veritas. Here we go now.
The mainstream media has been talking about a surge at the border, but the real story is a massive illegal immigration pipeline run by the Biden administration. We witnessed it running nonstop in McAllen, Texas. First, Border Patrol delivers busloads of illegal immigrants to a secured tent processing center on the corner of U.S. Business 83 and West 15th Street. We are told by sources well over 1,000 each night in this area alone, and what we witnessed during the day certainly substantiates this number. We were told by a driver of their operation that they are being tested for COVID-19 at this processing center. They all leave with manila envelopes in hand. Those that do test positive for COVID are driven to one of the several hotels who have contracted with the federal government to act as COVID quarantine shelters, where they will quarantine for 7 days before being released into the U.S. And the rest are either bused or walked down the street to the Humanitarian Respite Center, operated by Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley, where they are brought in through the front door with their manila envelopes inspected. They are housed, given bags of clothing, and are then sent off through the back door to various U.S. cities via bus and airplane. It's a non-stop flowing pipeline. Those that take the bus are led across the street to the bus station, and the rest are given rides to the airport, where they present Border Patrol and TSA with the paperwork inside their manila envelopes and set off to various U.S. cities, where they are either meeting up with some other government agency, NGO, or perhaps even Mexican cartels operating within the U.S. It is the biggest illegal immigration smuggling operation in U.S. history, and it is being run by the federal government on behalf of the United Nations to destroy all American liberties and put us under the boot for 1,000 years. For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
So these non-governmental organizations, NGOs, and many of them are religiously connected, not directly to the church, but by way of an umbrella, you could say. over them of the church. But they've been operating to bring illegal aliens into this country for decades. And what they've uncovered down there, Project Veritas and Alex Jones and his operation, is eye-opening. And I just hope the American public starts listening. Now, this coming up next is the actual interview, okay, that Alex had with James O'Keefe, head of Project Veritas. And we'll go to that right now. Here we go now.
The Democrat operatives that Ted Cruz and you expose are ones running it. They're the criminals.
Well, you know, I'll tell you this much. We've been reaching out to the White House today, and Eric, what did you say? What was the response? This is happening as I speak.
The automated message said the line was temporarily closed.
The line for the White House is temporarily closed now in response to these images and videos. So, Alex, how are they responding to it? Well, they're under a psychosis. They don't know how to deal with. I mean, the press secretary of the White House said, we aim to be the most transparent. They're not granting you access to these facilities. So how are they responding to it is, in typical Orwellian doublethink, the line is temporarily suspended so you can't...
Well, exactly. It's not about keeping score. It's just the magnitude. Is this not... This is probably the biggest story you ever broke. I mean, it just... What's coming next? My God. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. We got him for one segment, and coming up soon, the next few weeks, he'll be in studio with us. He's spending a lot of time in Texas right now. James O'Keefe, the founder and head of the number one journalistic organization in the world. I mean, they just bombshell every day. It is incredible. James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, is here with us, and they just released the exclusive video of people in open air with rattlesnakes, fire ants, children sleeping on dirt, looks like 500, 1,000 of them. On the Border Patrol, this information leaked to Project Veritas, and then we now have footage that I can say is Veritas level, which we got a great crew, but it's hard to get Veritas level, from them smuggling them from the border all the way to the airport, every point along the way there. That footage just went live at banthis.tv and ban.video. So, James, we salute you. We got 10 minutes with you. Tell us about what's happening and what you would call the situation at the border.
Well, thank you, Alex, very much for that introduction. Yeah, this is a video that was leaked to us by a federal employee, DHS employee. You see there in McAllen, Texas, under the bridge, under that bridge in near International Bridge. This was shot, video you're seeing, by a federal employee whistleblower. They run out of room inside these tents in places like Donna, Texas. So now the migrants are just sleeping on the dirt. And you see those metal survivor blankets on top of them. And, Alex, the mainstream media has not gotten this. They'll get the shots from a few hundred yards away. But right there, you're inside the migrant camps. The federal government is putting these kids on the ground now. And I've been talking to the mainstream media today. NBC News is playing catch-up with us. We're talking to the White House press secretary. For some reason, they don't want you to see this video. And the media obviously is in cahoots with the administration, so they're not showing you any of this stuff. So what's happening, Alex, this is the third whistleblower that is working with Veritas. These images coming on the heels of the first images from within the Donna, Texas facility. Second whistleblower leaked us graphs and documents showing that the sexual assaults and the sexual encounters have gone up by a factor of five. The last 5 months, there's been more sexual assaults than the last 5 years. Actually, it's a factor of 10, 214 of these sexual encounters. So I think what's happening right now, Alex, is whistleblowers are coming out of the woodwork galore, and there's no place for them to go. So they're going to InfoWars, and they're going to Project Veritas because, of course, there's nowhere else for these people to go.
James, I mean, I've been interviewing you since you first started out, and every story you guys put out is huge, but you just keep topping the last story. I mean, I know you've got a great organization. Your name's out there. You're the go-to place. But I think it's the world's a crazier place now. I mean, is that why your reports just get crazier and crazier and more out of this world? I mean, I don't know. When they demonized Trump and showed Obama-era cages, and then now Biden, it's 50 times worse. Now this is 100 times worse. I mean, this is so insane. How are they going to deal with this when they say Biden is the second coming of Christ?
Well, Alex, to answer your question about why are we able to get these, I think it's because the undercover work's about access. It's really about trying to get access to what you're investigating. I could never have infiltrated this facility. It would be illegal. I would never be able to get inside there. So I think increasingly a lot of the people working for the Biden administration, they're so contemptuous. They're so resentful of how things are portrayed that I am not exaggerating when I say there is a growing army of people that simply strap cameras on and record. And now in this case, the individual in question is very afraid of them finding out who is the person. So we do have to protect the identity. But quite unlike the New York Times, Alex, we don't ask you to trust us. We want you to see the images for yourself. And there's going to be a lot more to come. But again, this is the third whistleblower. Donna, Texas was the facility from a week or two ago. Project Veritas broke that story, Alex, exclusively. We got those images before that Democratic congressman from Texas got them. And it's pretty crazy. The sexual encounters, 214 encounters from October 2020 through February 2021, those are sex offender encounters, already represent the highest total of recorded encounters compared to the previous five fiscal years. So these migrants are coming across in droves, and perhaps what we need next, Alex, is a recording showing politicians the reason why they're not securing the border, you know, admitting what, you know, perhaps what LBJ admitted in the 1960s, that this is about politics, this is about obtaining votes. But images are pretty shocking, and we'll bring you them. Project Veritas will continue to bring them to you, Alex. We'll bring it to
America. How are they going to respond to this when they're telling Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, he can't see what's happening because of dignity, when they're the ones saying, rush the border, do this, he triggered this. Trump signed executive orders that were constitutional, took years for the courts to find that. Even if Biden signed executive orders to do this, it would be overturned. He's not even signing executive orders. He's just saying, do this, it's illegal. So the Border Patrol, as much as I like them, they're aiding and abetting, I think, crimes here. I think these federal whistleblowers know that. That's why they're blowing the whistle to be part of this. This is human smuggling. You just can't have the FBI wave a magic wand, Mr. O'Keefe, as you know, and say, oh, we don't need to do background checks of those working in the facilities.
Well, two things about that. First of all, I think the rank and file of the Customs and Border Patrol and DHS here is not in line with that. Alex, maybe the middle management or the leadership is the problem, but you have almost everyone, I'll say the majority of the lower ranking DHS folks are talking.
Oh, I totally agree. They're some of the best people in America. I'm saying the Democrat operatives that Ted Cruz and you expose are ones running it. They're the criminals.
Well, you know, I'll tell you this much. We've been reaching out to the White House today, and Eric, what did you say? What was the response? This is happening as I speak.
The automated message said the line was temporarily closed.
The line for the White House is temporarily closed now in response to these images and videos. So, Alex, how are they responding to it? Well, they're under a psychosis. They don't know how to deal with. I mean, the press secretary of the White House said, we aim to be the most transparent. They're not granting you access to these facilities. So how they're responding to it is, in typical Orwellian doublethink, the line is temporarily suspended so you can't...
Well, exactly. It's not about keeping score. It's just the magnitude. Is this not... This is probably the biggest story you ever broke. I mean, it just what's coming next? My God.
Well, I mean, I think it's about creating an army of whistleblowers. We need these DHS officials to go on the record, and a lot of them have to give up their livelihoods, right? They have to give up their jobs. A lot of these people have kids. They're worried, and rightfully so. So we have to – you're doing it, Alex, in InfoWars. Your audience is going to have to ultimately have the backs of – whether that's through donating, whether that's finding someone who's an employer who can employ them. What Veritas seeks to do is employ these guys when they go on the record and blow the whistle against what's happening. It is insane that this is, these kids are sleeping on the dirt. I don't know if you want to show those images again. They're
yes,
sleeping under a bridge on the dirt covered in survival blankets.
By the way, for folks that don't know, I'm from Texas. This is like southern Arizona. There are literally rattlesnakes. You see one every time at night when it's warm weather. There's rattlesnakes everywhere.
Federal facility, Alex. This is not just migrants on the, you know, traveling. This is your taxpayer dollars. You're looking at a federal facility outdoors on the dirt amongst, you know, snakes and other creatures and
scorpions.
Scorpions. This is in McAllen. This is in the international. I can't pronounce the bridge, but it's near McAllen. And I don't
it's
know.
It's in your article at ProjectVeritas.com. It's on Infowars.com. It's ANZALDUAS. Azaludas. How do we got folks who speak Spanish from there? How do you say that? I know I'm butchering it. ANZALDUAS. International bridge in McAllen, Texas.
It's an international bridge, makeshift border, and I only have 90 seconds with you, Alex, and what I'm going to do next is I do intend to see you in person in Texas. I will have more video, more breaking news in the next 2 weeks, but when I come on your show, hopefully Monday, I just want to give your audience a quick update. Project Veritas did sue the New York Times for defamation about a voter fraud story. We did, in fact, win in a motion in New York Supreme Court. It's a big win. It means we're going to go through discovery. The lawsuit will proceed through discovery.
And for those who don't know, the judge said they lied about you. They just said you fabricated when they fabricated.
Yeah, I'm going to come on your show to break this all in detail, hopefully on Monday, because I'm producing a 20-minute video. We hired a voice actor to play the role of the judge so you can hear what he said. But the judge said it was, in fact, the New York Times that engaged in disinformation and deception. This is a New York Supreme Court judge, incredible quotes from this judge in New York State, no less, taking the New York Times to task for lying about me and saying
incredible. We only got 30 seconds left. You should be in studio on Monday. Regardless, look forward to shaking your hand here in Texas. Folks can send us tips at InfoWarsTips@ProtonMail.com, InfoWarsTips@ProtonMail.com. And how do people send you tips? We're all in this together. How do folks report the next big story to Project Veritas?
It's Veritas Tips. That's VERITAS tips@protonmail.com, Alex.
And I'm using Proton, too, now because we learned all our other emails are blocking whistleblowers. Incredible. James, we salute you. Incredible job.
I'm going ahead and made a decision to play this next short clip. It's James O'Keefe with Project Veritas interviewing a whistleblower, a border agent. And he's got his voice disguised, but he's the one that has revealed through these confidential documents the high level of sexual abuse along the border at this time. So here we go with that right now.
So why don't you tell us what it is that you do?
I'm a patrol agent. I've been here for over 10 years. I patrol the desert. We do a lot of rescuing of people that are injured and in distress. We, of course, rescue them when they catch coming across.
Before we get into these documents, they are labeled unclassified, law enforcement sensitive. What does that mean exactly?
That means you're not supposed to say, you're not technically supposed to be showing it to the public.
These documents, this is something called the Border Intelligence Daily. It says sex offender encounters by U.S. Border Patrol has reached a 5-year high. Do you feel that's accurate? What do they mean by encounters?
So an encounter is an arrest. And it's extremely accurate and possibly underreported because sometimes they don't know about the criminal history and they haven't got caught.
In this document, it says that criminal aliens with sex-related offenses are attempting to re-enter the U.S. in record numbers during the pandemic, likely due to unstable economic situations. It goes on to show some figures that show we're only 5 months into the fiscal year of 2021, but there's already 214 of these encounters, sex offender encounters, compared to the yearly total last year, which was 154. It's a pretty big difference. You sure these numbers are accurate?
I would probably say they're underreported. All the records of the criminal aliens, the sex offenders in the U.S. now, they all have been previously deported from the United States for committing these crimes in the United States. Dry thermals? I mean dead children. Dead children in the middle of the desert. I've seen deaths. The 19-year-old girl, she fell off the fence and hit her head and died in my arms while I was doing first aid. We run checkpoint operations where we check vehicles and catch live dope problems and human smuggling, human trafficking problems that, you know, every day we're catching something like that. very dangerous for both us and the people we arrest to be crossing legally. Most things that Biden had instead changing from the native Mexico policy under the Trump administration, when you remove that, but it just opened the floodgates for family units and small children crossing that border illegally.
I guess, what is the process for determining the age of these migrants?
We have access to the Mexican database to kind of try to find out if they're age. If we can't find them in there, or if they're not Mexican, we've got to pretty much go with what their ID says, or if they have no ID, pretty much take what they say with them. So there are times that I've caught people with their IDs, and then the system has said they were minors, but they weren't. So once they get put in the system as a minor, we've got to treat them as a minor.
How do you compare the policies of this administration to the last one? What are you seeing?
President Obama, so this is my third administration. From the time Trump took over, it was a complete overhaul. Everybody got punished. Everybody got deterred. Everyone got a file. Nobody got just sent back unless there was a medical emergency or they were a child. Traffic slowed down. All the people in our custody were treated far more humane under the Trump administration than any other previous. Under Obama, it was just like a horrible stench. Every time you worked in a detention center, you'd get sick. People were packed in, 300-400 people in a room. But under the Trump administration, there was no more than 20 in a room, 20 to 40 in a room.
Have you ever eyewitnessed sexual assaults or human trafficking that you know of?
I have witnessed the aftermath of some sexual assaults on the border. I have arrested or rescued aliens that had been raped. I have sat in a hospital with women that have been raped. One time, a couple years back, there was some man that had been raped and tied to the fence because he wouldn't carry drugs. There's a lot of sexual assaults going on. A lot of it's past me. Like, once they get in the interior, they get to the stash house. There was one guy, he got caught with a notebook where he would write in a notebook every sexual thing he did with a girl. What they did, who they were, the name, age. That was a lot of not being charged. We couldn't prove it. The AUSA would not take that case because we didn't have sufficient evidence because we couldn't find the people to corroborate that. So we couldn't find the victims. So yeah, I've seen a lot of that kind of stuff.
The person there on location that's in the room with you recently recorded this video we're about to play for you. On the southern border, if we could pull up the video.
Yeah, it's pretty typical for an area where the wall is open.
Have you seen this type of thing?
Yes, like they'll jump one body here, they'll get the agents to move, chase the one subject, and then they'll jump three or four more somewhere else. They usually give up since a distraction, because they're going to get asylum anyways. So since their family units were pretty much just give them a bus ticket and send them in. And then probably the more dangerous illegal immigrants are probably the ones that they run when we deal with this issue.
What do you fear the most?
Do I fear the most?
Yes.
Any dead children. I don't. Dead children in the middle of the desert is something I don't want to deal with.
Have you seen that recently?
I've seen deaths. I have not seen the youngest. It was a 19-year-old girl. She fell off the fence and hit her head and died in my arms while I was doing first aid.
The whistleblowers are coming out and whistleblowing all along the border. And they're really making this Biden administration look bad. And they should look bad because they've been inept about these immigration situations there. They should have kept pretty well what Trump had underway already and made some minor changes along the way that they preferred, but But they, all of a sudden, he just went totally opposite. And Trump had done a pretty good job in settling it down. Even the Border Patrol agents liked the policies that President Trump had set out. But, you know, so much for that. Now, coming up next are some things that Biden and them made statements about this new election law in Georgia. And they were totally off the wall. They were reporting newspaper articles that were wrong, and they had to recant some of the newspaper articles. So his advisors were reading newspaper articles and advising him, the president, of the wrong things about. They never read the election law. And they totally misportrayed it. It's just making them look very foolish. So here's what Tucker Carlson had to say about all that just recently.
In a democracy, the people rule. If voters want something done over time, it happens. That's what self-government is. But what do you call a system in which all the major, all the really important decisions are made by big companies without any reference at all to what voters want? Well, that is not democracy. It's corporatocracy. And it's starting to look a lot like what we have now. Here's the latest example. Major League Baseball announced today it's pulling two of the biggest events in sports, the All-Star Game and the MLB Draft, out of the state of Georgia. Now, why is Major League Baseball weighing in on this? Why is it doing it? Well, because voters in the state of Georgia made a decision that the Biden administration doesn't like. And as with so many big corporations, Major League Baseball believes it now has veto power over the democratic process. And by the way, it may have veto power. We'll find out. In the case of Georgia, the state passed a law to reduce voter fraud. That law requires voters to provide some form of identification before they cast a mail-in ballot. That identification could be a driver's license or free state-provided ID. Georgia makes it pretty easy to prove who you are. There's nothing crazy about this law. In fact, it's hard to believe it wasn't already on the books in Georgia. It should have been. But when it was proposed, it sailed through the state house. Georgia's House of Representatives approved this bill by a 25-vote margin, the state Senate by a vote of 34 to 24. So unlike, say, Obamacare, it wasn't a squeaker. And you can see why. Nationally, the overwhelming majority of Americans agree with it. They support mandatory photo ID for voting. According to a recent poll by the AP, fully 72% of people in this country believe that required IDs are a good idea. And why wouldn't they think that? You already have to show an ID when you fly in a plane or drive a car, open a checking account, hold a job, live in an apartment, or get a vaccine. But you don't need one to vote? Come on. It's ridiculous. In fact, it's worse than ridiculous. It is sinister. Anyone who opposes voter ID laws is encouraging voter fraud, which is to say encouraging the destruction of democracy. It's that simple. And you can now put Major League Baseball in that category. Now, baseball was supposed to be America's pastime, happy, unifying, fundamentally non-political. So it's strange to see this happen. How do we get here? It's not at all complicated. We have a new president now, and that president is willing to destroy even something as wholesome as the country's traditional game purely to increase the power of his political party. Just the other day, Joe Biden went on ESPN to demand that professional sports franchises boycott any state whose voters step out of line.
I think today's professional athletes are acting incredibly responsibly. I would strongly support them doing that. People look to them. They're leaders. Look at what's happened with the NBA as well. Look at what's happened across the board. The very people who are victimized the most are the people who are the leaders in these various sports. And it's just not right. This is Jim Crow on steroids, what they're doing in Georgia and 40 other states.
So that's the considered judgment expressed out loud by the President of the United States. Georgia's voter ID law is Jim Crow on steroids. Asking people to show their identity before they vote is worse than segregation and lynching. It's Bull Connor and fire hoses and snarling German shepherds on steroids. You got to wonder how long our leaders can keep saying things like this, reckless things like this, before they really cause the society to fall apart. Joe Biden seems determined to find out. One thing Biden doesn't seem very interested in is his own home state, Delaware. Unlike Georgia, Delaware has never permitted mass early voting. Apparently, Delaware is a white supremacist state. About 80% of Georgia voters cast their ballots early in last fall. In Delaware, that number was 29%. So why isn't that voter suppression? Why isn't it racism? Well, because Delaware is a one-party state controlled by the Democrats. It's working for them. They're not going to change it. Georgia, by contrast, is a swing state. So in the estimation of Joe Biden, it is worth using racially divisive lies to win it for his party permanently. According to Joe Biden, the real problem with Georgia's new election law is that it could cause dangerous dehydration.
What I'm worried about is how un-American this whole initiative is. It's sick. It's sick. Deciding in some states that you cannot bring water to people standing in line waiting to vote. Deciding that you're going to end voting at 5 o'clock when working people are just getting off work.
Every word of that was false. Maybe the Washington Post will start a Joe Biden lie meter. Just kidding. In fact, the Georgia law bans political organizations from bringing gifts to people who are standing in line to vote. That's called electioneering. It is banned in an awful lot of places, probably where you live. But there is no prohibition in Georgia or anywhere else against people getting water and food in line if it comes from someone other than a political operative, if it comes from a friend or family member, for example. And by the way, they can also bring their own water. Hydrating is still legal in Georgia. As for the claim that this law will end voting at 5 o'clock, that's a lie, too. Wait a second. Joe Biden just said that on TV, so where did he get the idea voting ends at 5 o'clock? Well, it turns out that the big paper in Atlanta, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, reported that the law would ban voting after 5 o'clock. The paper's reporters apparently hadn't read the law. They had to append this correction to their piece, which effectively was the same as admitting they were repeating talking points without doing any research, which is what they were doing. Here it is, quote, a previous version of this story said the new law would limit voting hours. On election day in Georgia, polling places are open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and if you're in line by 7 p.m., you are allowed to cast your ballot. Nothing in the new law changes those rules, end quote. That's the truth, finally appended to a lie. Now, Joe Biden got his research on that bill from reporters who did no research. See how that works?
Next is Matt Gaetz on Tucker Carlson's show, and he's denying that he did any wrongdoing, and he said that he was actually involved in a sting operation with the FBI and because they were trying to extort $25 million from his dad and his family, who's ultra-wealthy billionaires, they say. So this is what Tucker Carlson's interview had, and then I'm going to play Roger Stone interview with Alex Jones talking about the same topic, the gas, you know what I mean, extortion for money. But here we go with Tucker Carlson and Matt Gaetz on Tucker Carlson's show earlier this week, and he denies that he did anything wrong. Here we go now with that.
Just a couple of hours ago, late this afternoon, the New York Times ran a story saying that Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz is under federal investigation for playing some role in sex trafficking and potentially having a relationship with a 17-year-old girl. There are very few details in major news outlets tonight about this story. We have no background on it all and not even any very informed questions. Instead, we've invited Congressman Gaetz on the show to respond to these stories and give us his view of them. Congressman, thanks so much for coming on. Appreciate it. So this is obviously a serious allegation. Tell us what the truth is from your perspective.
It is a horrible allegation, and it is a lie. The New York Times is running a story that I have traveled with a 17-year-old woman, and that is verifiably false. People can look at my travel records and see that that is not the case. What is happening is an extortion of me and my family involving a former Department of Justice official. On March 16th, my father got a text message demanding a meeting wherein a person demanded $25 million in exchange for making horrible sex trafficking allegations against me go away. Our family was so troubled by that, we went to the local FBI. And the FBI and the Department of Justice were so concerned about this attempted extortion of a member of Congress that they asked my dad to wear a wire, which he did with the former Department of Justice official. Tonight, I am demanding that the Department of Justice and the FBI release the audio recordings that were made under their supervision and at their direction, which will prove my innocence and that will show that these allegations aren't true. They're merely intended to try to bleed my family out of money. And this former Department of Justice official tomorrow was supposed to be contacted by my father so that specific instructions could be given regarding the wiring of $4.5 million as a down payment on this bribe. I don't think it's a coincidence that tonight, somehow, the New York Times is leaking this information, smearing me, and ruining the investigation that would likely result in one of the former colleagues of the current DOJ being brought to justice for trying to extort me and my family.
So a couple of obvious questions that come to mind, and again, just to restate, this just happened, don't have any other information beyond what we've already said and you have said. Who is this Department of Justice former employee who's trying to extort the money from you, you say?
His name is David McGee. He was a top official in the leadership in the Northern District of Florida as a prosecutor. He currently works at the Beggs and Lane Law Firm. As a matter of fact, one of the recordings that was made at the FBI and Department of Justice request occurred at that law firm, and the money that was supposed to be paid today that would have shown even more evidence of David McGee's work in this extortion scheme, that was foiled by the New York Times story, and I believe that's why this horrible information and these terrible allegations have been used this evening.
So you're, and I'll get to the investigation in a sec, but you're saying that David McGee was motivated by greed. He was trying to extort money from your family. That's his motivation, you're saying.
I know that there was a demand for money in exchange for a commitment that he could make this investigation go away along with his co-conspirators. They even claim to have specific connections inside the Biden White House. Now, I don't know if that's true. They were promising that Joe Biden would pardon me. Obviously, I don't need a pardon. I'm not seeking a pardon. I have not done anything improper or wrong. But what I am troubled by is the real motivation for all of this. You know, just tonight, Ted Lieu, a Democrat, is calling on me to be removed from the House Judiciary Committee. And I believe we are in an era of our politics now, Tucker, where people are smeared to try to take them out of the conversation. I'm not the only person on screen right now who's been falsely accused of a terrible sex act. You were accused of something that you did not do, and so you know what this feels like. You know the pain it can bring to your family, and you know how it just puts people on defense when you're accused of something so salacious and awful. But it did not happen. It is not true. And the fact that it is the basis of this attempt to extort my family tells a lot. And if the FBI and Department of Justice will release the tapes that they are in possession of, the American people will see what is really going on.
You just referred to a mentally ill viewer who accused me of a sex crime 20 years ago. And it was not true. I'd never met the person. But I do agree with you that being accused falsely is one of the worst things that can happen. And you do see it a lot. Let's go back to the investigation. You say that it was or is underway. There was an investigation. What is the basis of that investigation? What is the allegation? Is that really not very clear from these news stories?
Yeah, again, I only know what I've read in the New York Times. I can say that actually you and I went to dinner about 2 years ago. Your wife was there, and I brought a friend of mine. You'll remember her. And she was actually threatened by the FBI, told that if she wouldn't cop to the fact that somehow I was involved in some pay-for-play scheme, that she could face trouble. And so I do believe that there are people at the Department of Justice who are trying to smear me, providing for flights and hotel rooms for people that you're dating who are of legal age is not a crime. And I'm just troubled that the lack of any sort of legitimate investigation into me would then convert into this extortion attempt.
I don't remember the woman you're speaking of or the context at all, honestly. But I would like to know who. So they're saying there is a 17-year-old girl who you had a relationship with. Is that true? And who are they? Who is this girl? What are they talking about in the New York Times?
The person doesn't exist. I have not had a relationship with a 17-year-old. That is totally false. The allegation, as I read it in the New York Times, is that I've traveled with some 17-year-old in some relationship. That is false, and records will bear that out to be false.
How long has this investigation been going on, do you know?
I don't know.
When were you first informed of it?
I really saw this as a deeply troubling challenge for my family on March 16th when people were, you know, talking about a minor and that there were pictures of me with child prostitutes. That's obviously false. There will be no such pictures because no such thing happened. But really on March 16th was when this got going from the extortion standpoint.
So what happens next? I mean, you can see there is this investigation, I guess a criminal investigation. I'm not quite sure where the sex trafficking part comes in. For the fifth time, I don't really understand this story very well. But where does it go from here? I mean, you've made an allegation against someone by name on the air and accused him of trying to extort millions of dollars from your family. What happens tomorrow?
Well, what was supposed to happen was the transfer of this money that would have implicated the former colleague of these current DOJ officials. But that's obviously not going to happen tomorrow because the New York Times story was leaked in order to quell that investigative effort. So here's what needs to happen next. The FBI and the Department of Justice must release the tapes that are in their possession that were done at their direction. Those tapes will show that I am innocent and that the whole concept of sex charges against me was really just a way to try to bleed my family out of money and probably smear my name because I am a well-known, outspoken conservative, and I guess that's out of style in a lot of parts of the country right now.
Matt Gaetz, I appreciate you coming on tonight.
Thanks for giving me the chance to tell the truth, Tucker. I appreciate it.
It's a more interesting and complicated story than I knew from reading about it. Thank you very much.
That was Matt Gaetz on Tucker. And then Alex Jones had Roger Stone on it, and here's what Roger had to say. Something about that Matt Gaetz should go on the attack, on the offense. But it's unraveling now. There's even more problems with what Matt Gaetz has gotten involved with. I don't know how truthful this stuff is. You can't really go by these allegations in newspapers and things like that these days. But anyway, this is what Roger Stone had to say about advice to Matt Gaetz. Here we go now.
He needs to go on offense. This is right up front in Stone's rules. The left-wing, non-journalist, fake news media are the most vicious, malicious, dishonest people that I've ever come across. This is not as it was 20 years ago in politics. You have a new breed of these hardcore, snotty left-wingers calling themselves reporters when they, in fact, are children, and they have no ethics whatsoever. All of these stories that are maligning Matt Gaetz today are based on leaks. Where's the beef? Where are the facts? I don't think there are any facts. I think this is a good old-fashioned smear because, let's face it, Matt Gaetz shows enormous promise, and they know that. They don't want to face him at the polls in 4 years or 8 years or 12 years. They want to finish his political career right now. Not because he's done something wrong, because I don't believe he has, but because they control the media. They now control the Justice Department. That's a toxic combination.
Welcome back, Alex Jones Show. I thought Congressman Matt Gaetz did a great job on Tucker Carlson last night. The full interview is at InfoWars.com. Roger Stone is good friends with him, helped him run for Congress, got him on the show before. He's going to give us his inside take on it. I talked to people at the top of the media food chain that know Gaetz. They've got a good idea of actually what went down. It is a shakedown. It is criminal. We're going to talk about it in a few minutes with Roger Stone. And on a scale of 1 to 10 for looking confident and telling the truth, that's about a 9.9. All right, the big story, not just here, but around the world, is Congressman Matt Gaetz. He's smart. He's hardcore. He's pro-America. He's got courage. He fights for the Second Amendment. He fights for sovereignty. He was at the tip of the spear exposing election fraud and the fact that they overblew what happened at the Capitol. Now, he's definitely an up-and-comer, major presidential material, not now, but in 10 years or so. And so he's one of the main targets, along with Ted Cruz, along with Rand Paul, around with Jim Jordan. I mean, he's right up there at the top of the hit list, only under Donald Trump, and I'd say Alex Jones. Not for me running for president, but just wanting people's heads. Oh, and there's one other guy up there at the top. Not that we like being on this list. That's Roger Stone for the headhunters out there. So he's good friends with Gaetz, goes way back. He got Gaetz on the show before. It's like Donald Trump said, I'm here because Roger Stone got me on, by the way. Gaetz is like, I'm here because Roger Stone got me on. And so you see this. So I made some calls. Well, I actually got some calls, and I made some calls, people that know Gaetz well, some big people. And they said, no, Gates is a playboy. Gates doesn't like underage women. Gates has never hid this, that he's single and young. And he's not even, he doesn't even know if any of this is true. He doesn't, didn't fly with some underage woman. That's made up. This is a shakedown. But the question is, do they have some woman who can claim that, well, she was younger, now she's, you know, 20-something, that she went out with him 3 years ago. But definitely he went to the FBI. Definitely it's a shakedown. And I know Roger Stone has had his ear to the ground and been making some phone calls to give us the latest here today. So, former political prisoner, pardoned by the president, an innocent man, an American patriot, Roger Stone joins us. Next up in the gallows, next up at the guillotine, very popular Florida up-and-comer Matt Gaetz. What is the inside poo-poo?
I mean, if you had to name the single most effective member of the House in terms of fighting for the America First agenda, it would have to be Matt Gaetz. It's not incidental that right here on this show, only weeks ago, I mentioned him very realistically as a presidential contender. So this is a search and destroy mission. I know Matt Gaetz to be a person of extraordinary integrity. He was a playboy. He is now engaged to a wonderful woman, Ginger, who I've met several times. They're very much in love. This is not the Matt Gaetz that I know. This is a cheap political trick. This is an effort to derail his career. Folks don't know this, but Matt Gaetz's family is among the wealthiest families in Florida. Therefore, the motive of extortion, of blackmail, is a very realistic one. But I agree with your analysis. I saw the congressman looking very confident, very upbeat, very much on the attack, not looking like a whipped puppy. And I'd like to see them release those tapes. You see, that's the key. I think the tapes that I understand were made with the supervision of the FBI of former federal prosecutors trying to shake down Matt Gaetz and his father, who, by the way, is a former president of the Florida State Senate, very respected in this state. I believe that the FBI has the proof that will set Matt Gaetz free.
Exactly, and they knew that the globalists, the Democrats, the Democrat Justice Department was about to be embarrassed by all of this. So the New York Times did damage control, showing they've got operatives in that local FBI office that knew that they were, the good agents were about to close the jaws, the trap on this guy.
Well, let's be very clear. Washington operates, particularly in the last 4 years, on the basis of harmful leaks. Those leaks don't even have to be true. They'll end up on the front page of the New York Times or the Washington Post or on CNN or MSNBC, whether they're true or not. And therefore, they do damage. And that's exactly the point here. They're trying to destroy a guy who I think may be the young, great conservative hope for the America First movement. People say, oh, he's too young to run for president. Actually, if he ran in 2024, he'd be older than Jack Kennedy when he became president. So, look, I think it has to do with courage, has to do with talent. This is the
He definitely has that. Let's be clear. We're not going to, you know, kiss and tell here, but Tucker legitimately isn't running for the media. They're not in competition with each other. Tucker's not against Trump for some reasons because he wants to be president. Tucker is not running for president, cannot stand it, will never go back to D.C. Tucker Carlson is not running for president. Why don't you explain that to people that don't seem to get that?
Yeah, look, I love Tucker Carlson. He played a huge role in telling the American people the truth about the Soviet-style show trial that I was subjected to. But he just has no interest in elective politics. He's a journalist. He was a print journalist, a very fine print journalist. He probably has the number one cable TV show in the world right now. Ever. He has an enormous following because he lays it right on you.
He's a populist. But just to be clear, Gaetz is the only smart guy with tenacity that has a shot other than Trump. That's what you told me privately. You said in the interview that's gone viral that we shot at your offices there at the Nixon Museum outside Miami just a few weeks ago. I mean, literally, it's Trump or Gaetz. It's Trump or Gaetz.
Well, look, I like General Flynn, and I have huge respect for him, but I don't know that he's going to run for president. I'm also impressed with Josh Hawley. As I said on this very show, if the president runs, I'm for Donald Trump. Let's be very clear about that. If the president didn't run, yeah, Matt Gaetz would have to be at the top.
Oh, I agree. A Hawley-Gaetz ticket would be powerful.
Well, look, who is it that Adam Schiff despises the most? Who is it that Jerry Nadler can't stand? Who is the guy who calls Eric Swalwell to task constantly? Why, it's Matt Gaetz. The guy has enormous cojones. He's got huge courage. You know, usually when you're young and you first get to Congress, they tell you
He has incredible charisma. He's super smart. Definitely, they sense the alpha male. They're scared.
Yeah, because he has many of the same traits as Trump. He's audacious. He's bold. He's a brawler. They don't want to take another beating like they took in 2016. So I think this is payback. I think it is politically motivated. I hate to see what it is doing to his family, but he's doing the right thing. Let's get all the facts on the table before we judge this great patriot.
Well, I mean, we know he doesn't even know what they're talking about. He was on the plane with no woman. It's made up. The New York Times, just the same one that lied about WMDs in Iraq, is the same one telling us this lie. And when do they get held accountable, Roger? They lie about you. They lie about me. They lie about Trump. And it just gets worse. I mean, it gets worse and worse and worse. I'm wondering what's coming next. I mean, I read stuff in the paper all the time that has no connection to reality.
Yeah, like, say, The Guardian, for example. I think these people are on drugs. I mean, they're delusional. Look, how many news outlets have told you that I'm the mastermind behind the January 6th storming of the Capitol, when, firstly, I know nothing whatsoever about it, and secondarily, I wasn't there? But it's an article of faith among a bunch of leftists who, you know, push it in their headline. This is the same kind of thing. So Roger Stone is connected to a local Republican official named Joel Greenberg, who is connected to Matt Gaetz, who is connected to Jacob Engels, the crusading journalist. It's all guilt by association, but I'm convinced at the end of the day, Matt Gaetz has done nothing wrong. And we're going to get a chance to find that out. We're going to get a chance to prove that. We cannot let them destroy one of the leading and most promising young conservative fighters in the country.
Yeah, this is a recent interview that Hunter Biden had with a CBS reporter, and he's stating he doesn't even know if that laptop was ever his. It could be a Russian laptop. It could have been a Russian type of thing that's trying to frame him up, you know? I mean, this thing is getting to be worse than you could ever imagine, but denial, 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 that's what they're doing now. Here we go with this little clip.
Was that your laptop?
For real? I don't know.
I know, but you know that's...
Don't know
okay.
If the answer is.
You don't know yes or no if the laptop was yours.
I don't have any
yours.
Idea. I have no idea.
So could have been yours.
Of course, certainly. There could be a laptop out there that was stolen from me. There could be that I was hacked. It could be that it was Russian intelligence. It could be that it was stolen from me.
They're still playing that Russian card, aren't they? Boy, that's beating up. A heart to death. Oh man, I tell you, this is getting to be just a foolish endeavor listening to this Hunter Biden, you know, deny, 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 and then he can't be pinned down and he just goes on and on and on. Well, anyway, this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a new regime, a new administration. He issued a tremendous number of executive orders. Some of the changes that he made, especially on the immigration, were totally a mistake. And I think there were heads that rolled that invited him a certain policy that he should have never pursued. But he wanted to go in there and just refute everything that Donald Trump had done, President Trump had done. And some of the things that Trump had done were pretty darn good. Now, he got hustled, though. Trump got hustled on the vaccine development of that. And Fauci and them had an early on influence about how to allocate some of the monies. And Fauci had been involved with the Wuhan and all this other American development of some of these bioweapons types of, weapon system. So, and then all of a sudden, you know, we find out from, Hilton there, you know, Steve Hilton on Fox, he comes across with a tremendous piece of knowledge that they were funding that there was illegal funding of the development of this so-called coronavirus that eventually wound up in the hands of the Chinese by way of the University of North Carolina, and even Francis Boyle, who's an authority in this area, that wrote some of the first bioweapons chemical trade regulation for the UN, for international, is saying that. So, and then people are saying that these viruses are not real viruses. Or excuse me, let's go back. People are saying these vaccines are not real vaccines, but they're gene therapy programs. And there's people that are asserting that they can change your autoimmune system and are disrupted. And they can change it forever, maybe. But there's a lot of different unknowns on what the outcome of these vaccines is going to be. But what is really discouraging is that the medical complex has been very successful wearing these lab, you know, coats, walking around hospitals and asserting their authority and their knowledge on medical, you know, authority and knowledge. And the public at large is just mesmerized by these doctors. And these doctors have been schooled and conditioned and programmed by the pharmaceuticals to dispense medicines. So they are doctors of medicine. My sister was a med tech, and my second brother-in-law was an MD. And both of them are gone now from this world. And I think they both adhered to the modern medical model. And I think at times it did not prove beneficial to either one of them. And I'm not going to get into details, but that's just it. When you're schooled and you spend hours, hundreds, if not thousands of hours dedicated and operating within the modern medical model, then it's hard to give that up and say, hey, I spent a lifetime thinking about medicine in the wrong way, see? And I believe there's a hospital out south of Austin. And when I drive by that hospital, I see two halves of that hospital. I see the side where you got emergency medical, you've broken an arm, you've been in an accident, life-saving modern medical techniques that can save lives and can mend broken bones and so forth. And then on the other side of that hospital, I see all this pharmaceutical stuff being administered. And one of my dear friends, it's gone now, Jim and I were trying to help people over the years, and people that were in intensive care, and we would take, you know, our computers and look up some of the medicines that were being dispensed to some of our friends that were in, you know, intensive care units. And we ran across some very frightening things that happens inside those intensive care. And so you got to, malpractice in these hospitals is unimaginable. The level of it is unimaginable. And the amalgamation of a lot of numerous medicines taken together can be conflicting, and they're getting better at it. But just the dispensing of medicines, too many medicines, synergistically can be very, very harmful. But I want to thank everyone out there in our listening audience, thank you very much, and God bless each and every one of you. And we hope the best in the future for everyone. Good night.